Chaf Aleph. Yerachmiel. All right, so we'll say good morning. Welcome to the third parak of Maseches Nedarim. I cannot guarantee nearly the excitement of yesterday, but nevertheless, well, every day is exciting in the journey on Shas. So the Gemara says the following. So remember, we begin with the new parak. Arba'an Nedarim Yechitiru Chachamim. There are four different Nedarim. Now, we'll say we're going to see exactly what this means in the Gemara. But if you look at the Ran, literally four Nedarim Chazal were matter, they permitted. Now, the Ran writes, he says, Mefarish B'Gemara Shemutarn Me'elein Below Heter Chacham. These are referring to Nedarim, ultimately, again, that are inherently mutter without any type of what we'll call sagely intervention. So there is no need for any kind of She'ila, Charata, Pesach, nothing. These Nedarim essentially are meaningless, so therefore, by definition, they are inherently permitted. So what are the four categories? Nidre Zeruzin, and again, we'll define what each of these means. Nidre Zeruzin, we'll define in a moment. Nidre Havai means ultimately Nidorim that simply are meaningless. So we'll say the good example of that is yesterday's daf, you know, where let's say a person says, even though I said, the loaf for bet should be cherim, I mean that what? I mean that it should be like fishing net, you know, charame shalyam. So things like that are meaningless nedarim. Obviously, you don't need any kind of shale unless you're an artist like we saw. But nidre shkagos, accidental nedarim. And again, we'll discuss each of these categories. Nidre onsin. What is this? Nidre onsin means nedarim that are made under duress. Fine. So those are the four categories of nedarim that by definition are inherently batal. Therefore, there is no need for any kind of revocation or annulment practice. Says the Gemara, Nidre Zeruzin Ketzan. So what is the case of Nidre Zeruzin? It's actually very interesting. So listen to this. So let's say I'm selling an object. So listen to this. I say, I'm the salesman. So I say, I make a neder. I vow, I am not selling you this for less than a sela. Now a sela, just to keep in mind, is 4 dinarim. So I say, I'm not selling you the object for less than 4 dinar. What happens? So it happens to the buyer is Jewish as well. So what does he say? V'hala omer, konem sheni mosif lecha ala shekel. And the buyer says, oh yeah? Well, I make a neder, I'm not giving you more than a shekel. Rabbi says, shekel is 2 dinarim. So I, the seller, say, I make a neder, I'm not selling it to you for less than 4. Buyer says, I make a neder, I'm not buying it from you for more than 2. So what's the halacha? Shnehen, top of chabalif, the halacha is shnehen. Shnehen rotsin bishlosha dinarim. At the end of the day, what we really realize is what? Is that both really are aiming for a price ultimately of 4 dinarim. In other words, what the seller realizes is in any business negotiation, in any sale negotiation, so you're not really going to get exactly what you want. So you start a little higher in order to be able to come down ultimately to what it is that you really want. And the buyer also knows that he's not going to get it for as cheap as he wants, so he starts low in an effort to have some leverage, to have some room to negotiate upwards. So essentially what the Mishnah is saying over something very interesting, which is even though, what are they both saying? They're both making a neder. Now I say, 1 second, if the seller makes a neder that he's not selling it for less than 4 nedarim, that should be a binding obligation. Buyer says he's not buying it for more than two dinarim, that should be binding. To which the Mishnah says, we know what they really mean. And what they really mean is they're not actually making a neder. Rather, what are they doing? They're posturing, right? They're posturing, ultimately, again, in this negotiation. Look at the Ran. Tapran, Shneim Rotsim Mishlosh Dinarim, they both really want to be able to seal the deal at 3 dinar. Shamokar Hayadaito, Lishlosha, Felonis Kavin Benidro, Elalazaris Halokeach, Shlo Yamod Al Daito, Shamar Beis Dinarim. Remember again, the seller was really willing to go ahead and sell it for 3, but the reason he made the neder that I'm not going to sell it for less than 4 was in order to get the purchaser to budge. Vishyaskim Lishlosha, he should agree to 3. Vechin Alokeach, so to the purchaser. This Kavin Lishlosha, he really had in mind that he was going to pay up to 3. He was just trying to get the seller to budge on his price. Shamar arba dinar mushumachi lo chayle nidra. Therefore, because of this, neder is not chal. V'tami de milsa lefi shadarkon shalmocher velokeach bekach umishumachi lo mikru dvarim shebalev. So I will say, see, here's something else that's interesting. What the Ran is highlighting is like this. So remember, the Mishnah actually seems, this case seems to be pretty straightforward. The case of the Mishnah is, so remember, even though both of them are making the darim, we know what they really mean by making this neder. Now, under normal circumstances, remember that what you really mean generally does not play a role in the halachic process. Meaning, what do we care about? We care about what you say and what you do. In general, we have a principle of dvarim shebalev einam dvarim. Matters of the heart are not relevant in a halachic sense. Here is the exception, the Ran says, because here, this was such commonplace tactic in the marketplace that it was known that sellers would do this, buyers would do this. Therefore, again, it's the way business is conducted. Therefore, it's not called Dvarim Shebalev, it's just called a normal transaction. And therefore, neither of these Nedarim are binding. Supposedly, this is what the Mishnah calls Nidre Zeruzin, like Zrizos. A Nedar in order to get the other party to be a little bit more zaris, to be a little bit more serious in their negotiations. Says the Gemara, Arba Nedarim Yitir Chachamim, Amrli Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal Rabbi Ami, Amrat Lon Mishmeid Rabbi Udinesiya, Man Tana Arba Nedarim. Who is the Tana of this Mishnah? So which the Gemara answers, Rabbi Hudihi, it is Rabbi Hudihi, Dar Mishnah Rabbi Tarfon. Listen to this. Li Olam Ein Echad Mehem Nazir, Lefi Shalo Nitna Niziros Ela Lahafla. So I must say, this is very interesting. The Gemara wants to suggest that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Because what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda holds that by a Nazir, Ein Echad Mehem Nazir. Most remember, we had this case before. Ein Echad Mehem Nazir was a situation where I'm standing with Reuven, and a person is walking by, and I say, if that guy is a Nazir, I'm a Nazir. And Reuven says, if that guy's not a Nazir, I'm a Nazir. What's Talach Rabosai? Neither of them are Nazirim. Why not? So Rabbi, bless you, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion who holds that in order for a neder nezirus to take effect, there has to be explicit. I was going to say explicity, but even I know that's not a word, right? It has to be. I don't feel like making up words today. It has to be explicit. And we'll say the way the Gemara learns that out from is how, because the pasuk says ish ki yafli lindor neder lazir lashem. The word lahafli doesn't just mean to articulate, but rather it means to articulate ultimately again in an explicit fashion. So therefore, again, the Gemara is suggesting that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, because just like Rabbi Yehuda holds that by a Nazir, you can't become a Nazir unless, of course, you are explicit. We learn out all, remember, Nazir is the paradigmatic Nedar, and we learn out all, many other of the halachos of Nedarim from Nazir. Just like Nazir has to be explicit, so to what? So to every neder has to be explicit. And if a neder is not explicit, therefore it's not binding. But say, take a look at the Ran for just a moment. So just like in order to become a Nazir, your statement must be explicit. The same halach is true for all other nedarim. Technically speaking, in the case of the Nidrein is Zrizos, so really they're both making a Tanai. What's the Tanai? I'm the seller, and I say, Konam, this object should be prohibited to me if I sell it for less than a sella, less than four dinarim. So technically speaking, if I end up selling it for less than four dinarim, then what's the halacha? Technically, the object becomes prohibited to me and the sale becomes void. Now that neder is based on a tanai, because it only takes effect if I end up selling the object for less than a sella. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here, any neder with a tanai will not really take effect. Why? Because it's not explicit. A neder has to be able to stand on its own. It must be explicit at the time that it's actually made. That's why the nidre zirizin will ultimately, again, not work. So that's the first opinion. Rava Amar, Rava says, no. Afilu teima rabbanon mi katoni shnehen ratzu, shnehen rotzin katoni. Rava says, listen to this. So the rabbanon say no. It's not true. There's another reason why nidre zeruzin do not work. And I'll tell you why. Because does the Mishnah say, if you go to the last wording, the last line of the Mishnah, top of Chafalef. So what does the Mishnah say? Why do nidre zeruzin not take effect? Because ultimately they both want three dinarim. Now the Gemara makes a diuk interesting over here. It doesn't say mi katoni shnehen ratzu. Does it say they both want present? Doesn't say that. Rather, what shnehen rotzin? They're both saying now. What's rotzin? Rotzin is past present. Past present. Now what's the chalik between ratzu and rotzin? Because ratzu makes it sound like they come to an agreement now. Rotzin sounds like what? This was their intent from the beginning. In other words, what Rava is saying is, do you know why Nidre Zeruzin are not really binding Nidarim? Why this Nidre in the case of Mishnah is not binding? Why Rabbosai? Because at the end of the day, did either of them really have in mind for an eder to begin with? No. Rather, what was their intent? The buyer's intent was to get the purchaser, the seller's intent was to get the buyer up to 3 dinarim. The buyer's intent was to get the seller down to 3 dinarim. This was their intent from the beginning. So essentially what Rava says is this has nothing to do with the explicit or inexplicit or unexplicit nature of the neder. What this has to do with the fact is this is a bargaining tool. People do this all the time. They're not really making the darim, they're handling. Just the way that a person goes ahead and shows that they're serious about their bargaining is what do? They use a lashon of neder. But does anyone actually have in mind that there's going to be a neder over here? Absolutely not. So again, interestingly enough, no one is arguing on the bottom line, which is that these nidrei zerizin are not binding. They're not binding at all. The machlokes is the mechanics. So the first opinion says the reason why nidrei zerizin, these type of bargaining nedarim, are not binding is because they're not explicit enough. In order for an eder to be binding, it has to be explicit. Where do we learn that from? From Nazir. From Nazir, just like a neder, Nazir has to be explicit. Nazir is a paradigmatic neder. Therefore, all of the neder must be explicit as well. And therefore, if a neder is not explicit, it's not binding. Therefore, in this case of the Mishnah, we're technically speaking, these nedarim are only made out tonight because they're only triggered if the seller or the buyer violate the terms of their buying or selling agreements. Therefore, it's not explicit. Because it's not explicit, it's not binding. Second opinion says, no, nothing to do with binding, explicit, not explicit. It's much simpler. No one in this case really has in mind to make a neder. This is a bargaining tactic, and therefore the Maaseh, there's no neder to begin with. Fine. Amar Rabbeinu Ravashi. So Rabbeinu said to Ravashi, we'll say another case. Amar lo tfei mesela, v'hala amar betzir mishekel. So we'll say, listen to this case. If the seller said that I'm only going to... Now, actually, if you look at the Ran for just a moment over here, the Ran has two different versions of this case. Look at Amar Le Tfei Misela. It's the third wide line towards the bottom of the Ran. Kilomar, Sha'amar Lo Konim, She'eni Pocheis Lecha Min HaSela Upruta. V'lokeach Omer, Konim She'eni Mosif Lecha Ashekel Pachos Pruta. So we'll say in this case, the seller saying over here, I make an eder that I will not sell you this object for less than a sela and a pruta. And the purchaser says, konam, that I will not go ahead and pay you more than a shekel minus a pruta. Shekel less a pruta. So we'll say, so the shayla over here, the Gemara asks is like this. The Gemara says, nidra havi o zeruzin havi. Is this a real neder? Or is this what we call nidre zeruzin, i.e. bargaining tactics? Now, both say, why is the Gemara asking this question? So the Ran says there are two ways to view this question. Either you could say, because they're being so specific in their amounts, right? The seller is saying, I'll only sell you for a sela plus a pruta. And the buyer is saying, I will only go ahead and buy it from you for a shekel less a pruta. So since they're being so specific in their amounts, do we say, one second, maybe this is not bargaining. Maybe this is really their hard ask prices. And therefore, again, the nedarim are binding. Or the other possibility we'll say is what? Is that in this case, remember, their amounts are pretty off from each other. Right? Meaning what the seller is asking is much more than what the buyer is ultimately willing to pay. So do we say, maybe we only say nidre zeruzin in like the case of the Mishnah, where what Rabbeinu say? Where ultimately, again, the seller was asking for 4 dinarim, the buyer was willing to what? Or saying, he starts at 2, so we already know where this is headed, it's going to head to a compromise of 3. But perhaps where the distance between buyer and seller is so great, perhaps that's not called nidre zeruzin. Perhaps a case like that is called what? A real binding neder. That's the shayla of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Tanina. So we learn this. Listen to this. Let's say my friend really wants to have me over to eat. My friend is pressuring me to come to his house to eat at his house. And I say to my friend, Konem Beischa. Your house is Konem to me. Shani Nechnas, Tipas Tzonin Shani Toim. So let's say this is a good way to get out of that unwanted Shabbos invitation, right? So I go ahead and I say, I'd love to, but konam your house on me, and konam a drink. I just want to try to be better with my nedarim, right? So konam your house on me, and konam that I will not even take a drop of cold water. Okay, so we'll say, so what's the halacha of such a neder like that? So the halacha is mutar likanis labeso velishtos heimenutzonin. The halacha is that what? I am permitted to enter into Reuven's home, and I am permitted to drink his water. Shalom is kavin ze ela l'shum achila. Now here's what's interesting. What the Gemara suggests over here is like this, is that l'maisa, I am not permitted to eat at Reuven's house, but what can I do? I can go ahead and enter his house, and I could go ahead and drink his water. Why? Because it's clear that the intent of my neder was not really that I can't enter his house. I don't want to eat a meal at his house, for whatever the reason it is. So the idea is, I'm using this exaggerated lashon, but I don't really mean it. I'm not really trying to prohibit entry into his house, nor am I trying to prohibit a drink of his water. I'm just trying to get out of having to eat a meal at his house. Shalom is kaving ze el lushum achila ushtia. But say, take a look at the Ran for just a moment. Take a look at the Ran. Shalom is kaving ze el lushum achila ushtia. Alma, afa gab dinachas ledyuka. What do you see from here? You see from here that sometimes when people say things in Nedarim, they use exaggerated lashon that does not mirror their exact intent. So over here, I'm saying, Reuven, konam your house on me, konam your cold water on me, and what does the Gemara say? It's not really what I mean. And I'm saying, now remember, the advantage of this Nedar is there's context. What's the context? What's the context? Good. The context is, right, that Reuven is inviting me into his house to eat. He's trying to pressure me to come for a Shabbos meal. So that's why when I say, konam your house on me, konam your water on me, there's context that what I'm really trying to get out of is what? Is the meal. So therefore, again, we understand that based on the context, I'm not really trying to prohibit my entry into his house, nor am I trying to prohibit my ability to drink his water. I just don't want to eat the meal at his house. Therefore, the Gemara says, you see from here that even when a person makes a neder, we need, depending on the context, we need not interpret the neder explicitly, but we can understand based on the context in which the neder is made that the noder, the vower, may actually mean something different. So the Gemara says, va'amai. I don't understand why that is so. But yet again, one of the principles we've had in Nedarim is that what? That what you say is what you mean. We say Dram Shabalev, and whenever possible, we try not to reinterpret what you're saying. So I don't understand. If I say, Reuven, konam your house on me, konam your cold drink of water on me, why don't we interpret that literally and say that I'm actually prohibiting that on me? To which the Gemara says, Ella, Mishtai Inish, because sometimes if you take a look at Rashi now for just a moment, Ella Mishtai Inish Hafid, Dechi Amar, Tipas Sonin Yochalimo, Vade La Achila, Miskabin, Dechi Nadar Zeshen Latoim Imo, Tipas Sonin, Vade La Achila, Merubin Iskabin, Ulahaki Mortalishtos, because again, I will say, we understand what a person means from context. What the Gemara essentially answers is because the Gemara says, Ella Mishtai Inish Hafid, people sometimes talk this way. In other words, sometimes people use exaggerated lashon to make a point. Hachinami mishtoi inishachi. Therefore, Rabbi says, so too over here, we say that what? People sometimes talk this way. And Rabbi says, remember, what did we start with? What case were we worried about? Not worried about. We're trying to figure out in a case where there's a much greater divide between the seller and the buyer. Seller is saying, I will not go ahead and sell this to you. For what? For less than a sella and a pruta. And the other guy says, I will not go ahead and buy it for less than a shekel minus a pruta. There's a much greater divide over there, right? And furthermore, again, they're using much more specific lashonos. So what is it? Do we say in that case where there's a specific lashonos plus a greater monetary gap that they both really mean the darim? Or do we say, no, even in a case like that, it's nidre zeruzin? To which the Gemara seems to say, no, even that case is a nidre zeruzin. Why? Because people talk that way. What does most of people talk that way? Meaning that in a business deal, I guess, it's not, they're businessmen here. You could say if this is correct, at least now. Clearly, in terms of the Gemara was correct, that people sometimes would dafka use specific amounts in order to kind of show that they were, quote unquote, drawing their line in the sand. But what? They really weren't. It's a business posturing tactic, right? I'm going to pay you, I'll pay you $10.99 for this and not a cent more. So it's a posturing tactic. Therefore, the Gemara wants the same way that if I don't want to come to your house for a meal, I can say the neder, I'm not walking into your house, I'm not taking a drink of water. Even though I'm being explicit in my wording, it's understood I'm just trying to avoid the meal, not anything else. So too, in the world of business, people use specific amounts all of the time in order to make a point. So the Gemara says, Hachanai mishtai inashachi, amalei, say set him, amud beis, me dummy, how can you compare these cases? Gabit sonein, Sadikim omrim ma'at va'osin harbe. This is actually quite beautiful. See, the difference is by the case of where somebody invites me over to their home. I will say, by the way, just so you should know, you're thinking to yourself, like, why in a million years would someone ever make this neder? If somebody invites you over for a meal, why would you ever make the neder? I mean, there are so many better excuses you can use to get out of it. Right? They want to invite you over, you know, in 2 weeks now for Shabbos. I'd love to have a levaya. Whatever you need to do. But why make the neder? I will say, so you should know, by the way, I don't know if this is the pshat, I'll just say where this could come up. You know, the Gemara talks about people, the Shulchan Aruch actually, in Hilchos Tzedakah, talks about the fact that a Gabbai Tzedakah is not permitted to ever approach someone who is generous to his detriment. Let's say somebody, there are people in the Tzedakah, say, who give to a fault. They give too much to the point where they compromise themselves. The Shulchan Aruch Paskas, in Hilchos Tzedakah in Yeradeya, that the Gabbai Tzedakah must dafka avoid that individual. You are not permitted to ask that individual for tzedakah because you know they're going to give you more than they're really able to afford. There are people like that who are just generous to a fault. You can't take advantage of that kindness. So it could very well be a case like this where Reuven's inviting me over. I know maybe Reuven doesn't have enough for himself. And I'm going to come to him, and what's going to happen? He's going to treat me like I'm not, treat me like a king, and to his own detriment. So the only way, so to speak, to get Reuven off my back, so to speak, because I don't want to compromise him, is to take this neder. So the Gemara says, in this case, when I take this neder not to enter into Reuven's house, why am I doing that? And I say not to drink his water, because Sadikim or Mat Vosin Harbi, because I know what's going to happen. Reuven's going to invite me in, and we'll say, we are a people of Sadikim, and if there's one thing we know how to do, we are Bnei Avram Avinu. So Achnasas Archim is something we know how to do. So what's going to happen? I know what's going to happen. Reuven's going to invite me in for a cup of tea, right, or a piece of cake, and what's going to happen? Before I know it, he's going to put before me a whole 7-course meal. So the only way for me to ultimately avoid compromise, I'm injecting this narrative into the Gemara just to make it a little bit more understandable. So therefore, again, I prohibit everything, even a drop of water. Ha-ha, sveiko. So we'll say, that's the logic. That's why a person ultimately, again, in the case of the Achnasas Archim, would make this type of dramatic neder that I don't even want a drop of water because I know what's going to happen. If I take your drop of water, then what's going to happen? Then it opens the door for everything else. Look at the Ran for just a moment. Me dummy, Gabi, Tzoni, Tzadikim, Omer Ma'atvas, and Harbe. Just as an aside, Jesse, see, you know, that's the true sign of a tzaddik. A tzaddik speaks little and does a lot. The problem is, most other people, right, go ahead and talk a lot and ultimately do very little. So the Ran says over here, Hilcha, Mistafi mihai di'i modele b'tipas soni shalo yachi lenu harbe, mishumhachi amar tipas soni v'lav dafka. So again, remember, that's why in the case of where I swear off entering into Reuven's house and even the drop of water, again, that's not a literal neder. I'm just saying that I know what's going to happen. If I accept anything from you, you're going to shower even more upon me. Hachas, back to the Gemara. Hach, however, over here, sveikahu. People say, over here, remember, what's the case over here? Where the seller's saying, I'm not going to sell it to you for less than a sella plus pruta, right? And again, the buyer says, I'm not going to sell it to you for less, ultimately, than a shekel minus a pruta. So in that case, over here, sveikahu. Dilma pachos misela v'yoser ashekel ka'amar v'zeiruzin habi. Oh, Dilma Dafka Ka'amar Vinidra Havi. So I'll say again, this is not, so what turns out is that the case of the Konam, I'm not going to enter into your house, is not really comparable to our case. Because in our case, over here, we're really not sure when both buyer and seller use these specific amounts, A, and B, the divide between them is greater than the previous case. Is it just Nidre Zerizin? Are they just trying to encourage each other to really engage in negotiations? Or are they literally saying, I'm taking a neder not to sell for less than this and not to buy for more than this? To which the Gemara ultimately says, Tiboy. So we'll say, remember again, Tiboy is our Nedarim equivalent of Teku, right? We don't really use Teku in Nedarim as much. We use Tiboy. It's a good shayla. So we'll say, welcome. Now remember, anytime you're going to have Tiboy, anytime you're going to have a Teku, ultimately in the case of Nedarim, is going to yield Chumrah. So you have to deal with those cases stringently. Therefore, I will say, in this kind of case, where the seller says, I will not sell to you for less than a Sela plus a Pruta, and buyer says, I will not buy from you for less than a Shekel minus a Pruta, we don't know what that means. Does that mean Nidre Zeruzin? Or does that mean that literally they're making a darm drawing the line in the sand, and therefore again we'll have to deal with it stringently? Amir Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi. So, by the way, what is interesting over here, and again, we're going to spend more time on this, obviously, is this notion that now we are beginning to say that there are certain Nedarim that are just so hyperbolic in nature that it is clear that they're not meant to be literal. So that already, and remember, that is a departure from what we've learned already, because we've always thought that Nedarim holchin acha lashon b'nei adam, that ultimately, again, we go after the way people speak, but now we see that it is sometimes that people use exaggerated lashonos, and therefore, again, not every single exaggerated lashon will ultimately be binding. Therefore, we'll say, yes, we already see one case like this. It's just good to know. So if your friend's inviting you over for a meal and you don't want to go, and you say, konam your house, some of your drop of water on me, we'll say, so again, we see halach lemaisa, that neder is not taken literally. That neder, again, it is a neder not to eat in my fellow's home, but it is not binding on me not to enter, not to take off his water, because it's understood. I'm just nervous that if I accept anything, ultimately you're going to shower a lot more upon me. Weiter. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Asi, Arba'a nidarim halalu, tzrichin shei l'chacham. So we'll say, listen to this. Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav Asi, these four nidarim, I will say, now, but Pashas, what we're referring to are the four categories of Nedarim mentioned in the Mishnah. So these four categories of Nedarim require She'ila L'Chacham, require annulment by a Chacham. Okay, now listen, remember that contradicts the Mishnah. Because what did the Mishnah say? That these four types of Nedarim, ultimately again, do not require the Hetiru Chachamim. Well, say Hetiru Chacham sounds like they're motor without any process of She'ila, of rabbinic intervention or revocation. To which the Gemara says, Rav Yosef masnu lahashmaita b'hai lishna. So Rav Yosef stated this statement in a little bit of a different version. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, ein chacham rashai lahatir ela kein arba'a nedarim halalu. So we'll say, in this version, what he's saying is, the chachamim are only permitted to be matir a neder. The other one should say differently. The only type of neder that chachamim are permitted to be matir are these types of nedarim. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at the Ryan for just a moment. Actually, let me finish first the Gemara. Kasavar, he holds, ein poschen becharata. That ultimately, again, you cannot annul a vow on the basis of charata. Now, this is very interesting. Charata is the easiest way to annul a vow. Because how do you annul a vow? I make a vow, I show up in front of Beis Din, I say to Beis Din, you know, I really regret making the vow, and Beis Din says, okay, right, fine, if you regret it, ultimately you're right. That's called charat, a very simple process of getting out of the neder. So the idea that the Gemara is saying over here, at least according to Rabbi Huda, the name of Rav Asi, that ultimately a chacham could only be matir neder like the nedarim we have in the Mishnah. Now, look at the Ryan for just a moment. Ein chacham matir elokein arba nedarim halalu kilomar she'in lo lahatir becharata. Ella bePesach, it teaches us that a chacham cannot annul a neder with charata, rather only a Pesach, only an opening. So now, opening means, what does Pesach mean? We'll get into all of this, but again, just coming attractions. Pesach means I make a neder and I come to the chacham and I say to the chacham like this. I say to the chacham, I took this neder, but had I known then what I know now, I would never have made that. Now again, it's not just enough to make that statement like in a general like life sense. Oh, had I known then, I'm so much wiser now 30 days later. No, the idea is, had I known then that this neder would have imposed a particular hardship, that this neder would put stress on my relationship, that this neder would do this, so there's a tangible piece of information that I clearly was not aware of at the time of the neder, but had I been aware of it, I would have never made the neder. That's called a Pesach. That's called an opening. So the idea over here at the Gemara is saying, what the Gemara is saying is that apparently, according to this opinion, you cannot go ahead and annul a vow or revoke a vow based on charata, just based on simple remorse. Rather, you require a Pesach. Finish the Ran. Kishu nitar b'Pesach mochiach mitocho shu neder tos v'havi kein arba nedarim aval charatos. So listen to this. What's the chap of the four categories of nedarim in the Mishnah? They're all what we call nidre tos. So what's what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lamaisa, the only way that a Chacham could be Matir and Eder is how? Is if he could prove some grounds of Toh, some grounds of mistake. Either that again, the vower made a mistake in vowing, in that he did not take in mind or take into account certain information at the time that he made the vow, or other types of mistakes. Like, for example, he made a meaningless statement. That's also a mistake. But You cannot. So the only time that a chacham could annul a vow is if the vows are like the vows of our Mishnah. That just like the vows of our Mishnah are mistaken vows, so too the only way that a chacham could annul a vow is if what? Is if he or the vowor could demonstrate that some level of mistake was made when the vow itself was undertaken. That's called a pesach. That's called. But you can't simply go ahead and annul a vow with what? With charata. So if the vow shows up in days and it says, wow, I really regret making that vow. So what does the dayan say? Yeah, I know what you mean. Right, nebuch, but it's only another 30 days, another 5 years, whatever it's going to be. But there's no basis of annulment or revocation of a vow based on charata. Now, Rabbi, so now what's going to happen is, fine, so that's a statement that was made by Rav Asi. Now what the Gemara is going to show is a number of episodes that indicate to us that there was a whole host of Chachamim that disagree with this and say, no, charata is grounds for revocation of a vow. Says the Gemara, so there was a particular person that came before Rav Huna, and apparently he made a vow, and he now wanted to get out of the vow. Amarle, lipcha alecha. So Rav Huna said to him, tell me, literally, is your heart with you? Meaning, if you look at the man, he says, Amarle, lipcha alecha, kilomar, was your heart settled at the time you made the neder? And is your heart still settled? And the man said, no, I really regret making that neder. And ultimately, Rav Huna permitted the neder. So what do you see from here? That charata, just simple remorse, is in fact grounds for revocation annulment of the neder. Next case. There was a man that came before Rav Bar Rav Huna. And again, same case. He made a neder. Now he wanted to get out of it. So Rav Huna said to him, if there are 10 people who are able to calm you down at the time you made the vow, would you have made the neder? Apparently, this guy made this neder at a time of anger, a time of passion, whatever it is. So Rav Huna said to him, if there are people around you to calm you down at the time of the neder, would you have made the neder? Amrle lo. To which the man said no, meaning, in other words, what's that? It's another way of saying, I regret making the neder. I made the neder at a time of passion. I should not have done it. And what happened? What's the halacha? V'tiru. Ultimately, again, they permitted the neder. Tanya, Rabbi Huda Omer, Omrim lo li adam, leiv ze alecha. So we say to a person, I will say, leiv ze alecha. Now, what does that mean, leiv ze alecha? Really, libcha alecha. If you take a look at Rashi, I'm really libcha alecha, kilomar, omeid ato. I'm sorry, actually. No, that's the wrong Rashi. Fine. I'm really libcha alecha. So we'll say, if we ask the person, are you still settled with your neder? Meaning, is your heart still with you? Which both says another way of saying that what? Are you still accepting of the neder, or do you regret it? Im amar lav, if he says, no, my heart's not settled with me, i.e., I regret the neder, matirin also, then ultimately what happens? We permit the neder. Again, all of these are just the same episodes. All we're trying to show is all of these rabbanim who permitted revocation of the vow based on charat. And I will say, now, interestingly enough, what you see from this last case is what? That you could even lead the person a little bit, right? Meaning, you see that if the person wants out of the neder, we could even proactively ask him, tell us, are you happy with the neder you made? And if he says, no, I must regret it, then at the end of the day, that is grounds for annulment. Next. So same thing, we say to him, if there are 10 people there to calm you down at the time you make the neder, would you have made the neder? Im amar lav, and if he says no, matir no, so then we permit it. Fine. Hahud asa kamid Rabbi Asi. So we'll say, listen to this. There was a person who came before Rabbi Asi and he made the neder. Amar le kadot tehisa. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, he says, Tahisa, Kadotahisa, Mitstar Atosh Nadar Tahan Bacharata, tell me, do you now regret that you made the neder? Amar le lo. So we'll say, that's the Amar le lo. You hear that intonation? Amar le lo, right? If I say Amar le lo, that's one thing. Amar le lo. Look at the Ran. Amar le lo, Bitmiya. So he says, could I not regret this? Right? Could I not regret this? I will say, just so you understand, like, we have to have so much Hakaras HaTov to Rashi, to the Ran. Can you imagine, like, learning this Gemara without the Ran? Because the Ran says, I'm really low, but to me, that's a question. Do I not regret it? I will say, now, the truth is, I guess you understand it contextually, but again, remember, that sounds like the same case as you had before. You have to say, Mamish, you have to, It's important. Hakaras HaTovah is a very important midah. And Parshat, like you have to say every day, we have to say thank you to the Rabbeinu Nissim. I'm seeing what he gave us was such a gift. We'd be lost without him. With him, and now we're so lucky. We have him and Rashi. Just Ashrinu Matovah. It's really like we're very lucky. So Amar Leilo, of course I regret it. Vishariyeh, and then he permitted it. So as a person who came before Rabbi Lazar, and I will say these are all the same stories, just to make a point. There was a person in for Rabbi Lazar. Amar lei bais nadar. Do you still want your neder to be in effect? Amar lei ilu lo margazin li lo ba inon klum. To which the Va'ar responded, you know what? Had they not angered me, I would not have made the neder at all. In other words, we'll say, in this case over here, what he's literally saying is, I made the neder in a time of anger. Had I not been angered, I would have never made the neder. Amar lei teheki bois. Ultimately, again, it should be just like you want, i.e., and if you look at Rashi, he says again, teheki bois. Actually, you could look either, it's either the Ran or Rashi. Actually, look at the Ran. Amar lei teheki bois kilomar. Shehei haneder mutar kirtzonecha. The neder is revoked just like you want. I'll say one last case. Listen to this. There was a particular woman who made a neder prohibiting her daughter from benefiting from the mother at all. So the mother made a neder that her daughter should not get any benefit. She got angry at her daughter. Her daughter should not get any benefit from her. So the mother came before Rabbi Yochanan and apparently wanted to get out of the vow. So what happened? Amr Allah, Rabbi Yochanan said to her, Ilu havi yadas de Amran, Megiriseich aloch de Barteich, top of Chav Beis. Ilu lo chamas ba'ime milin de aziva bichdei, lo adarta. So listen to this. So had you known, Nebuchadnezzar, what were people saying? People were saying that the fact that the mother made a neder about her daughter must mean, and made a vow that her daughter can't get any benefit from her. There's only one reason why a mother does that, which is what? That her daughter must have acted immorally. So where Rav Huna says, if you would have known, the fact that she got so angry at your daughter, that mother would never make a daughter like this, make a neder like this, unless of course she saw that her daughter had engaged in such an appropriate behavior. So now people are saying, as a result of the neder, people assume that your daughter is an immoral girl. So had you known that people would say that about your daughter as a result of the neder you made, would you have ever made that neder? So the Gemara's Amra Lei Lo. So the mother said, of course not. I would have never made such a neder than about my daughter, Vishariyeh. And ultimately, again, Rav Huna permitted the neder, again, Rav Osai, based on basic charata. This is really the last piece, and we'll stop. Barbarti Rabbi Yanai Saba, the son of the daughter of Rabbi Yanai. Right, Rabbi Yanai the elder. So the son of the daughter, the grandson of Rabbi Yanai, also the Kamid Rabbi Yanai Saba, he came, so apparently he made a neder and he came before his aid, he came before his grandfather. Amr Lei, Bose, listen to this, it's very important. Amr Lei, Ilu Hava Yadat, De Paschin Pinkasach Umimashmishin Ba'ovdach, Minadart, had you known that when you make a neder, they open up your file in Shamayim. And they analyze your file. Would you have ever made a neder? And Abba said, now what does this mean? Take a look at the Ran. It's the top Ran on the daf. The paschin pin kaseich umimash mishin ba'ovdech shemitoch shehu noder nirashu machzik atzmo kechasid shloikash albinit. Abba said, this is wild. Listen to this. If you make a neder, Abba said, now remember again, to make a neder, you've got to be pretty self-confident. Why? Because it's hard enough for most of us to uphold our promises without you know, a binding mechanism. To go ahead and put a binding mechanism behind it, which carries with it, again, a potential prohibition if you don't violate it, you must think of yourself as a real chassid, as somebody really pious. That's fine. If you're going to go and think of yourself as a real pious, as a real chassid, then what? Mitoch kach, me'ashamayim poschin pinkas zichuyosav, omashim masav. So that's fine. If you think of yourself as a chassid, just know what's going to happen. The Beis Din Shamal is just going to pull your file and just want to make sure that you are really... Now, obviously, I want to be clear. This goes with the approach that nedarim are not a good thing. Remember, we saw conflicting approaches to Nedarim. Some say Nedar is a good thing, it pushes you to become more. Others say Nedarim is a terrible thing because you're setting yourself up for potential failure. So according to this approach, Nedar is not great. Person makes a Nedar, oh, you think of yourself as a chassid. So if you think of yourself as a chassid, Beis Din is going to want to pull your file to make sure that's true. So listen to this. So the grandson comes to Rabbi Yannai, and the grandfather says to him, tell me, my grandson, had you known that when you made a Nedar, they pull your file in Shanayim, would you still have made the Nedar? Amar Leilo, to which the grandson says, no, Vishariye. And as a result, ultimately, again, Rabbi Yannai went ahead and revoked the Va'al Rabosai. Now, the Chiddush in that case is what? The Chiddush in that case is, the Charata has absolutely nothing to do materially with the Neder. You see, in all the previous cases, so I regretted something about the Neder itself. Here what the Gemara, and we're going to continue with this tomorrow, but here what the Gemara seems to say is that here, the vow, I don't regret the material, the chomer, or the subject of the vow. What I regret is what? Is the process of vowing. And apparently Rabbi Yannai Saba felt that even if you don't regret the subject of the vow, but you regret the process of vowing, that in and of itself is enough to establish charata, and then if it was mounted the neder, we'll pick up Havir Mirat Hashem tomorrow. So no, that's not called a Pesach, means had you known something else about the Neder. That's not called Pesach. This is just simply regretting I ever made the Neder.